I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Watch the brand new documentary, Gamertag Radio, a podcast story, now for free on YouTube. Go to story.gamertagradio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Worldwide.
Podcasting since 2005.
Take it out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Back on the scene.
With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go.
Hi, right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 744. This is your host, Danny. Yes, I'm back from Atlanta. We could talk about that later on. But joining me this week, of course, the whole Gamertag Radio crew is in the house. Let's start with Paris. Paris, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, good. I had a blast with her in this past week in Atlanta. It was the first time over at the city.
Got some good content out of there. I've not been to Atlanta since I went to Florida State and I went to Freaknik one year. So that would have been.
Oh, wow. Freaknik. Wow. I haven't heard that in. Whew.
God, that was 92, I think.
Yeah. I've been there since then. Wow. You took it back. Holy crap. Man, that was like Two Live Crew days. All that stuff,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's a good old days.
Oh, man. And those are joining me, Mr. Pete. Is in the house too. What's up, man?
I'm still caught off guard by that Freaknik comment, dude.
I know, right? I was not ready for that at all. Wow. Have you been there, Pete, to Atlanta?
Oh, yeah. I've been to Atlanta a couple of times. My brother-in-law used to live there. So we used to go out. And he used to live like a block from Piedmont Park by Midtown.
Okay.
Remember, I gave you recommendations just before you left
for
Atlanta.
You did.
Did you get a chance to go to like Revolution Donuts or anything like that in the Five Points?
Nah, man. It was just hard, man, because the schedule. The schedule was pretty tough for me, man. And, literally Sunday, right after we were done, I went quickly because I wanted to check out the CNN Center. I went there for a little bit. And I also went to a couple bars with Activision because they invited me and stuff. And it was cool. Atlanta was really, really cool. You know, I personally think I like New Orleans better. I think there was around the area there was more things to do, in my opinion, for me in New Orleans, and I just love the food over there, you know. So I definitely got to go back to New Orleans.
The food in Atlanta is really good too. So
hell yeah,
glad you're able to get out there and check it out. It's a good place.
Definitely, man. Definitely. All right, so head over to GamertagRadio.com. Also, you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. And if you haven't listened to the latest episode of Hope County Stories, make sure to download it. Episode 3 with Nick Rye. I freaking love that episode. It's so good. Make sure to listen to it, the whole thing. And next week is going to be our final episode of Hope County Stories. Very interesting, man. Interesting stuff. Next week, Wednesday of next week, we're going to have a cool announcement to talk about. Some changes here and there that we plan to do, but I think it's going to be good. It's going to be good. So we're going to talk about that next week, Wednesday night. Make sure to tune in live on Twitch or in a podcast the next day, Thursday morning. So there's a couple of news, man, today that came out, but this one, you know, Paris posted this in our chat because I was streaming at this time when he posted this, but Microsoft is going to make a lot of changes this year for E3. Usually they always have their booth, you know, at the convention center. And I remember, I think a month ago, somebody posted a map, a design, like how it's going to look for this year's E3. You can see like PlayStation with their big booth. You know, you see Nintendo and stuff. But there was people asking like why Microsoft's E3 booth is so small. And a lot of the gamers, or the fans especially from Xbox, are like, man, I'm kind of disappointed. Because maybe this means they don't have much stuff to announce, right? But with the news today, what Microsoft is going to be doing for this year's E3 is they're same thing like EA. They're going to have events off-site. But the booth that's going to be available at the convention center is more for to promote Mixer. And then when you go to the, I believe it's the Microsoft Theater, right, Paris? LA Live?
Yes.
That's where they're going to have a lot of activities, you know, the press conference and everything there. And supposedly this is going to be the biggest E3 showing ever for Microsoft. So we're going to talk about like our what we think is going to happen. But first thing first, Paris, I know you were the first ones that mentioned this. I think actually when we were recording the messengers, you said when Microsoft and Sony leaves LA Convention Center from the whole E3, it's a wrap. Do you think it's a wrap for E3 because of this announcement?
Not this year, but like I said it back then. I know I've said it a few other times since then. I know I really said this after last year with the public, and I almost freaking passed out because I couldn't move. But
yeah,
it's this public thing's not going to work, and Microsoft is doing the smart thing by taking everything out of the, not everything, obviously, but taking a lot of their stuff out of the convention center and putting it off site. It's going to make it a lot more accessible for the media to be able to get in, do what they need to do. They can still cater to the public that way. And it's going to be a more enjoyable experience for all parties involved. This public thing is not going to work. It's just not. And you're going to see more and more more and more publishers start to do things off site. I would not be shocked to see Ubisoft do a ton of stuff off site this year. PlayStation does some stuff off site this year. EA is in Hollywood completely off site. Activision starts doing more things off site. It's just going to happen, man. I mean, I don't know. They got to figure, you know what? Shout out to oh my God. I almost called him Angry Gamer. To Marcus Beer. What is?
Oh, Annoyed Gamer.
Annoyed Gamer. Yeah. God, I almost called him Angry Gamer. Yeah. I saw him tweet about this last night, man. He was even saying that basically ESA, E3, get your blank together because this public thing's not going to work. And yep. Trust me, I was very happy to see this news that Microsoft is doing this because it means we're going to have a easier time getting. Remember last year, trying to go to the Xbox booth on that first day.
A disaster.
I thought I was going to die. It felt like it took 2 hours just to get from one side of the hall to the other to get to the booth. It was crazy. So,
yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I know the ESA is going to do a better job. Obviously, they're going to manage traffic better this year. The press has some early access hours to get the stuff and all that. Oh, that's fine, man. But this setup with what Microsoft's doing over across the street at LA Live, I dig it. Do the press conference there, have your fan fest there, and then have some stuff, you know, just throughout the entire event over there as well. It's good. And then take Mixer and feature that over in the convention center, because honestly, Mixer, in my opinion, is more for the public than it is for us, right? So it kind of makes sense to have Mixer be the highlight of what they're doing in the convention center versus their traditional games and stuff and interview meeting rooms, interviews, all that kind of stuff that we normally would do over there. We're probably going to do that now across the street. So I'm all for it. Yeah, I told you so.
But I love that. I love this because, dude, it's perfect because us as considered media, we're going to get our content, right? And the fans, they're also going to have the opportunity to play all these games. So I think it's perfect, man. And I think last year, that's what they did too with their fan fest and showcase at the Gallant Center. Dude, that was perfect the way how they did it. We had a couple hours just for media. And then once we were done, later that day, they invited the fans to play all those games. I think that is perfect. I love this idea, man. Love it. So Pete, what you think, man?
I think it's smart from them from a business standpoint because like they own the lease on the Microsoft Theater, right? So they can offset some of that cost and that overhead. This does not bode well, in my opinion, with the ESA, even though, you know, in conjunction with that was the byline on the, that was in the first paragraph or whatever. But EA is leaving, or EA's gone. Microsoft has shifted out of the LA Convention Center. Who else? Like, the next time a major publisher, like if Sony says, you know, we're going to bounce, we're going to go to the Fig. Just, I'm just throwing that out there as a theory. Does this mean it's Santa Monica all over again, where you got to schlep all over the city to go to different appointments? That's going to make our jobs as bloggers, podcasters, content creators, et cetera, trying to get the news and scoop. That's going to make our lives that much more difficult. Granted, the cardio is going to be fantastic, but it's going to make our lives a little more difficult trying to make appointments. We're going to have to now schedule 20 to 30 minutes to be able to run from, you know, let's say the Fig all the way to the convention center. And yes, that's our job. But in my personal opinion, them catering to the Sony's and catering to Sony and Microsoft and appeasing them and saying, okay, you guys go to different places.
Okay. All jokes aside.
Catering to them. It doesn't make it any easier for us. And the reason I'm saying this is because E3, except for that 1 or 2 year and last year, obviously, when they were just trying to sell tickets to raise money to fund E3 and the ESA for the year. It's an industry only event. That's where we go and where industry folks go to do business. You know, it's not a public event. And so I'm still against it in a sense. Like I'm cool from the perspective that, fine, I like that fans are finally getting to get a little piece of this. But if they're going to start making E3 something that's comparable to like a Gamescom in Germany, then y'all need to grow up and give us a larger venue. If that means moving out of LA, then do it. But give us a larger venue so you can cater to the public. Give them what you want to give them. Give them that experience. But allow us to do our jobs. And by us, I don't just mean, you know, media and journalists and podcasters. I mean, everybody that's there, you know, like the business people, the sales people that are there to try to make numbers, to sell, you know, their wares or their sell the software and sell their things. So.
Yeah. The thing is too, is that Pete, you weren't there at E3 Santa Monica. That was a disaster, but the difference about that particular E3 and the one that we're at right now is everything is a lot closer. The one in Santa Monica, dude, everything was far, that you had to take a shuttle in order for you to go to another hotel. This is walking distance, so it's not as bad compared to Santa Monica. Paris, you remember this? Everybody was late. Everybody was late, every appointment, because Sega was on one place. The other company, you don't know if they were going to be in that hotel or what. We found out, no, you have to take a shuttle in order to go to this other hotel that's super far in order for us to get an appointment. So the difference is this one's going to be a lot closer, so we could just walk, which I don't mind. That to me is nothing compared to the freaking shuttle buses. Now, my question to you guys is it going to be Microsoft's biggest E3 ever?
They say that every damn year.
Well, not like this, though. Did they? I never heard that last year or the year before. I don't remember that.
Okay, I had a smart-ass comment, but I won't say it.
God.
I mean, no. You know what? No, because last year, how are you going to top last year where you pushed out new hardware with Xbox One X? No, I don't think it will be, unless, and I'm not trying to beat a dead horse because it's dead, unless they're announcing things that are like way down the road. There's no way they got things in the next year or two that's going to make this the biggest E3 ever. I just don't see that personally, unless they're talking about new IPs that you're not going to expect anytime soon.
All right. I think that this is going to be a very early E3 prediction. In Paris, we had this conversation the other day, and I think we're going to talk about it here. P wasn't in the conversation. He was, you know, he was busy with work and everything. But I think Microsoft is going to announce the new Halo game for September, late September, early October of this year. As is a big, big surprise. During the press conference, they will also
That's not
show
a surprise.
A
that's expected. How's that a surprise?
But wait, Paris, let me just continue with my prediction.
Dream.
God.
Let
my God.
Dream.
Let me dream. What if?
Okay. I'm
okay. I also think, yeah, they'll show Gears. They'll show Gears, you know, at the end. Oh, it's coming out 2019. I could see that happening, right? The question that I have is, we all know that Forza Horizon is coming out also this year. When that game is coming out? Because here's where things are going to get really, really complicated, especially with these third-party games that's coming out. Red Dead Redemption is coming out the end of October. Call of Duty is coming out in October. Black Ops 4, right? Where Halo is Halo going to come out? September? Early October? Maybe November? I think no company, maybe Nintendo could pull this off. Maybe Nintendo could put it off. Maybe Sony too with Spider-Man. But to me, I think it's super risky to release those games super close to Red Dead because, yo, everybody and their mothers are going to buy that game. Everybody's going to buy that. I think it's going to even – that game is going to sell more than Call of Duty 2, man.
Now you have been drinking, haven't you? You said you had a beer there. That's crazy. No, it's
yeah,
not.
Yeah, I'm
no,
drinking right here.
No, it's not. Woo. No, it's not. No, it's not. I'll bet you that right now. No, it don't.
Ooh.
The what? That I'm drinking this or
no? No, that Red Dead 2 will not out. Red Dead 2 will not outsell Call of Duty.
You out of your freaking mind. It's Rockstar, dude.
It won't.
It's Rockstar.
It will
Rockstar,
not.
Look, Rockstar doesn't even need to go to E3.
And let's
and
be
they
clear.
Still sell
and
more and units and than Call of Duty.
And let's be clear in what I'm saying. I'm saying in fiscal year 2018, Red Dead Redemption 2 will not outsell Call of Duty Black Ops 4.
Define fiscal year.
I think
are we going
will.
By their individual
I'm going,
fiscal year?
I'm going
like
by from,
year?
I'm, well, let's say from October 2018 to October 2019, Call of Duty will outsell Red
you
Dead Redemption.
You out of your freaking mind. Hell
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Nope. Are you crazy? Yeah. Paris, I don't know where you're smoking tonight, but yo, you're crazy for saying that. It's Rockstar. Dude, Rockstar never goes to E3. They don't need to go.
And what's your point?
Activision always go to E3, right? Look at Grand Theft Auto. Grand Theft Auto outsold all these Call of Duty games that come out every year.
No, it didn't. Grand Theft Auto 4, in the same year it came out with a Call of Duty, did not outsell Call of Duty. Go look it up. Hashtag facts.
Y'all can tell. I'll do the
hashtag
research.
Facts? You know what? Pete, can you search?
I'm already searching.
For us? You're good with
I'm
that.
Searching.
Go
I'm searching.
Check. Go. Because, yo, I disagree, dude. I think Red Dead is going to outsell Black Ops.
No, it's not. You're happy moment right now and thinking it will. It will
All
be
right,
the.
We'll
it,
see.
Look, it may wind up being the number two selling game. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. But until it's just like Michael Jordan in his prime, you don't bet against him. I ain't betting against Call of Duty. Call of Duty will still be the number one selling game this year. And it's a Black Ops game, which is the most popular of the Call of Duty franchise IPs right now.
We'll talk about this later on.
I'm just hashtag facts. I'm just putting it out there.
Okay. Now, here's a game that I don't see this game coming out in 2018. Crackdown. I don't see it.
Well, someone's been telling you that for 6 months, but go ahead.
Yeah, I don't see it. I don't see it. I the more I think about it, I think that game is coming out early 2019. Honestly, they're probably not even going to talk about it during E3. They probably will show it, maybe, right? But like, they're not really going to push it. They're not going to push that at all.
All right, so
I don't see
the math is in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
First,
here goes.
All right, so November
2008. Grand Theft Auto 5, right?
Five or four?
No, we said Grand Theft Auto 5. We didn't. No, we're not going that far back. I said 5.
All right.
You said 4. You said 4.
I said 5. We're talking 5. No. The last Grand Theft Auto. What the hell are you talking about?
You did say 4.
Whatever the last Grand Theft Auto was.
You said 4.
Okay, bring up 4. 4 or 5. Doesn't matter. Whichever.
Number 4 Call of Duty was the second highest. Let me see. Blah, 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 blah. I just had it. Second best selling game.
Because if you go back to 2008, that's when Call of Duty first started rising in popularity.
World at War was 2008.
Ugh, I would hope Grand Theft Auto outsold that.
That was me. All right. What about five?
That's my point. The discussion is five because now both Grand Theft Auto and Call of Duty are at the peak of their powers. That's the point I'm trying to make. And that's why I'm telling you Red Dead's not going to outsell it this year.
Grand Theft Auto 5, first 3 days, was 1 billion three-day figure sold.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
I got to look up the numbers for Call of Duty, but yeah.
I really doubt that Call of Duty did that.
You don't think Call of Duty did 1 billion in the first 3 days?
Not like Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, let's continue this on because we're stalling
the show. Let's continue.
Pete can bring it up later.
Yeah. So, any predictions? Probably we'll see Perfect Dark. I think that makes sense, right? Now, is that going to be this year too? I mean, I would have been surprised if they just start announcing crazy stuff like that. And here's a crazy prediction. I think Microsoft is also going to announce Xbox Live Game Pass bundle subscription. I think they're going to do that. You join Xbox Live, you get Game Pass. Call me crazy, but I think that's
now. I'm gonna be an a-hole right now, and I told you this 2 months ago. So you said, and I tweeted
you said
it too.
Prediction,
yes,
you said prediction,
and I said
you request that. You said request that.
I did.
All right, props, Paris. You want me to give you high fives? Here, give me high fives. There you go. High five.
You've been drinking. You need to stop drinking. Lose your mind. No. Okay.
Right, so what's your prediction?
Here's what I think.
Okay.
Shout out to Q. All jokes aside, here's what I think.
Fire.
I do think Halo 6 comes out at the end of September, early October. I think Forza Horizon 4. Probably early September. We're in agreement. I do think Crackdown is delayed to 2019, if not canceled outright. I think we will get teasers for the next Fable and the next Perfect Dark, but they're further out. I don't think they're ready yet. And maybe they close the show with a teeny tiny Gears, teaser. They're going to push Game Pass hard. They're going to push Xbox One X and all the 4K upgrades just to showcase titles that you can have on Xbox One X, true 4K gaming. That's going to be a big selling point for a lot of things that they're doing. But do I think this is going to be the greatest Xbox showing at E3 ever? No, I don't think so, but I think it will be really good. I mean, trust me, I'm very excited to see what they're going to say and what they're going to present up there, because I think this is the year where they got the roadmap together for the long term with exclusive IPs. I think we'll see some surprises in there that we're not expecting. My Miss Leo Cuphead 2 shows up on that stage in some form.
Ooh, that's a little early. Oof.
Well, not that it's coming out, but they're going to talk about it. They're going to let you know it's coming. You know?
What about this, Paris? If they announce a third party game exclusive like Splinter Cell?
No. Ubisoft's not doing
what?
That.
I know Ubisoft won't do it, but what if, Paris? What if? Is that enough? Would that be enough for you?
Denny, what if you weren't drinking tonight? How about that? That's
what if. No, okay. I only drank like half of this. Come on.
I have your numbers.
Oh.
For yeah, Grand Theft Auto. All right. So actually I'm gonna start with Call of Duty Modern Warfare. I'm sorry, Call of Duty Ghosts was 2013, right? So are we talking that same year? Or are we just talking in general?
That year?
Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
2013 Call of Duty Ghosts sold $28.1 million overall from launch till today. Grand Theft Auto 5 from 2013.
Not launched until today, that year. I'm talking that year. It's of course, Grand Theft Auto's outsold it till now.
God damn it. You made me do a lot of...
Okay, go continue the show. Pete's doing a terrible job of the numbers.
Grand Theft Auto 5 has sold $62 million. Period. Thank you.
But anyway, we'll continue. But look, the reason why I say Splinter Cell Paris is, remember back in the original Xbox? Oh. The original Xbox, it was an exclusive. So you think Ubisoft won't do that at least
time? There is no way. I will quit the show and never be on here again if Splinter Cell is an exclusive to Xbox. There's no way Ubisoft is doing that.
Hey, it's not facts. It's a what if.
I know. It's a crazy what if.
That's it. That's all, man.
Okay, so you really think after the after the Titanfall and Tomb Raider debacle, that any third-party publisher is going to sign some kind of exclusive deal with PlayStation or Microsoft? Okay. No, they're not going to do it. All right, no way.
All right. But they will show the trailer at the Xbox press conference.
That's completely different.
And
he's just going for the win. He's just got anything that gives him a positive in this light right now.
All right. But just that. Okay, so what is it that Microsoft needs for this press conference to be like, okay, this was
Halo 6 is an absolute knockout showcase. That's what they need, period.
One game?
Dude, if Halo 6 gets back to its roots and you're like, oh my God, I got to play this story. This is going to be amazing. Oh my God, look at the multiplayer. Oh my God, it's 4K 60 frames on Xbox One X. This is amazing. This is the best Halo I've ever seen. The story looks amazing. They just go all out. If they can do that, and I'm talking Halo 6 is like the buzz of E3. Everybody's talking about it. Like, man, I know you're talking about that Red Dead, but man, I'm trying to get that Halo. You know what I'm saying? If they can get that, that's all they need. That is literally all they need. And I'm telling you, pump up Game Pass. Because Game Pass, again, if you own an Xbox, you should own a Game Pass. The two should go hand in hand. And that's why, like you were saying, with getting Xbox Live, like basically call it like Xbox Live Platinum or something like that, where it includes Game Pass in it. No brainer. Mm-hmm. Just get it. No brainer. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. We'll see what's going to happen. I don't know. But Pete, you have any predictions, anything from this press conference, or you want to move on?
Nah, we'll move on. I'm going to agree with Paris, because I don't think that aside from a Halo announcement, and again, just an announcement, just show me Master Chief's face and then just turn off the lights. That's all they would need to do in order to make the crowd go crazy. And that will be the buzz and the talk of E3 for the next week.
Outside of that, I disagree, Pete.
Okay.
I slightly disagree on that. They got to do more than just show Master Chief.
Oh no, no. I'm just saying that's your end cap, right? That's what you just say. Okay. We have one more announcement before we go. The lights go dim and it's just, you know, a flash of Master, you know, a quick pan over Master Chief's visor. Lights go out. The crowd goes wild. Everybody's talking about Halo 6 for the next 5 days at E3. That's all I'm saying. That is the big ticket item that Microsoft needs to drop at E3.
But see, I'm gonna respectfully disagree, because I know you're not drinking, so I'm gonna respectfully disagree.
Actually, I have been.
I'm not even. Fake news.
No. But see, I do think they need to do more than that. I think Bonnie Ross needs to be standing on that stage. They have a demo for it. It looks amazing. They talk about all these great features. And then Frankie runs up there or something and shows a release date that is this year. And then, oh, by the way, it's playable at the Microsoft Theater or at LA Live for everyone. The multiplayer or something. So during all of E3, people can get hands-on with Halo 6. And it obviously has to show well. And you got to get that buzz from it. Like, oh, man. Man, I got to play Halo 6 multiplayer. This new mode is so fun. I had so much fun. I can't wait till the beta comes out, you know, this summer or whatever they do. You know what I'm saying? Oh, that would be the mic drop. They say it's playable there, blah, 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 the whole thing. And oh, by the way, for everyone watching at home right now, for our Xbox Live Gold members, playable right now at home. People would go bananas.
Oh, you know what would be even better is that everybody would leave E3 and go play, and we'd have the show floor all to ourselves again.
Now, that's the one thing that none of us have mentioned, because we always repeating the same games. What about the new IPs? We need to see something that stands out, man. I truly loved Sea of Thieves a couple years ago when they showed it. A lot of people were kind of about it, right? But now that the game is coming out, dude, everybody's talking about it. It's getting positive press, right? I think we need to see that type of magic, man. New IPs. Sony has been doing an amazing job with that. They're showing new IPs at their press conferences, you know? So why not show that too? And I think Nintendo also has to show that.
The fear is that of the unknown. And yes, new IPs and new experiences that are not your Forza and your Halo experience, you know, games. Those are what people want. But until they're tried and true and tested, expectations are always going to be tempered, especially in this day and age, because gamers and consumers have already been are already way too gun shy about new titles. And Paris, you gonna say something? Looks like
I gotta break the fourth wall. Someone in our chat made a great point. They do a Halo 6 beta, and they say if you own Game Pass, that's how you get into beta. Great incentive to go out and get Game
absolutely.
Pass.
Ooh, that'd be nice.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good. That's smart. Or
before E3.
how they got Paris years ago. If you buy Crackdown, you get the Halo 6 beta. Wasn't
buy
like that
Crackdown
Paris
3,
for the first
buy Crackdown 3 to get the Halo 6 beta.
Wasn't like that for the first
Crackdown? Remember, that was the first community event I ever went to was Crackdown at Microsoft campus. And it was funny because every interview we did, no one wanted to talk about Crackdown. All we wanted to know was about the Halo beta. That's all we wanted to know about. Yeah. It's funny. It's a funny memory. But if Crackdown does come out, if it does come out this year and it comes out, like, say, over the summer or something like that, it'd make a lot of sense for them to stick a beta on it for nostalgia's sake. People would get a kick out of that. Why not?
Not just it's incentive for people.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And it gives incentive for people to go run out and buy Crackdown. And then, but if you do that, then like we just said, I think the beta needs to be available to all Game Pass members because obviously Crackdown will be a part of Game Pass.
Right.
All right, so let's go to the next topic, and I'm excited, but also freaking pissed about this. So Sega announced the Sega Genesis Collection is coming out for the PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. What happened with the Switch? What the hell? What the hell's wrong with Sega, man? I'm excited because they're going to have a lot, I think about 50 games from the Sega Genesis days available part of the collection. But man, I want to play this on the go. Where is the Nintendo Switch version? What's wrong with Sega, man? I think this is a huge mistake for them not to release this game, this collection, on the Nintendo Switch. Big, huge mistake. But your thoughts, guys?
I don't know. I mean, it's tailor-made for that environment. You know, put it out on a mobile. It's not like you need to push major pixels or resolution. But it is, considering that this was a leak and not a full press release.
No, it's official. They officially announced it today. Yesterday got leaked, but today they already sent out the press. I got the press release earlier this morning, and they also posted the trailer. But what happened was yesterday it got leaked.
Okay.
By mistake.
Not knowing that. But now that I know that, yeah. Yeah, I think that's a faux pas. That's a mistake. Because that's an environment that's tailor-made for the Sega Genesis Collection. Granted, yes, it's Sega on a Nintendo, but I mean, you know, we should be past that at this day and age in 2018.
Paris?
I mean, yeah, I just think it was a lost opportunity for it to not be on the Switch. To me, they're just throwing away money by not having it there day one. Sure, it may show up there later, but by then people probably lose interest in it. In my opinion.
All right, the next topic is this got leaked. It's not officially, but I already seen a trailer that somebody recorded at the movie theaters. I think they added this trailer part of the Tomb Raider, before the Tomb Raider movie that I believe comes out this week. So Shadow of the Tomb Raider is going to be the third and final of the game from her origins of Lara Croft. It's coming out this fall for all systems. It's not going to be exclusive for Xbox like last time, you know, like the first game and stuff. But it's called Shadow of Tomb Raider, of the Tomb Raider, and it's coming out September 14th of this year. If you want to check out the trailer, it's already online. Somebody recorded it at a movie theater and posted it online. And I believe this was like from another country and stuff. So, it was a short teaser, but what are your thoughts, guys? A new Tomb Raider game. This is going to be the third and final origin story of Lara Croft.
I don't know if it's just too much at this point. Like, have we gotten to the point where is Lara Croft and the Tomb Raider franchise, does it really deserve this much?
Yeah, that game, yo, it was, the first two was amazing. I don't know if you played the game or not, but dude, I finished both. The story was freaking excellent, excellent. The thing what happened with the first one, it was exclusive for Xbox.
Right.
And I think it only, I think it was a time exclusive, only for the holidays. But it sold more after it got released to like other, like the other platforms and stuff, right?
Of course. But
the game, just the game overall was a lot of fun. It was, I loved the story, man. It was really well done. And the second one too. So I don't see this as too much. And remember too, Pete, Tomb Raider, dude, that this goes back to like the original PlayStation days, man. It's an iconic character. I don't see this as too much. I think this is dope. I think we need games like this, man. You know, it's not always has to be shooters, you know, but having games like this, I think it's important.
Why you gotta attack me like that, though?
No, it's not. It's the freaking truth. It's the freaking truth. You know, I enjoy the first two games, man. It was the writing, the voice acting, the things you do in the game. It was excellent, man. Excellent. I really didn't care much of the whole stuff they'd done, like multiplayer. And I didn't really care about it. I care more about the campaign overall. Campaign was so well done.
Yeah, and I remember we had Camilla Ludington on the show to talk about it way back. I don't know. I don't know if maybe I'm starting, maybe, and I'm speaking in generalities here. I can't speak for everybody, but I'm just curious if maybe franchise fatigue, maybe for Lara Croft. You know, we're seeing this now. We got the movie coming out, and I get it. It's perfect timing to start pushing the video game because you have the movies hitting theaters. You know, you want to get as many optics on there as possible to try and sell as many units. But have we potentially gotten franchise fatigue now for Lara Croft?
Paris, you want to say anything?
We could be there. I mean, it's not a crazy question to ask, I think. It's hard to say with Rise of the Tomb Raider because the Xbox exclusive deal didn't work out the way that they thought it would, right? So the sales numbers on it were a little soft, and by the time it came on PS4, people had already moved on to new things and kind of lost interest. I'd almost give this one a wait and see since it'll launch on all platforms, you know, day one. Maybe it'll have a little more success than it was. So I don't, because like Danny said, both games were fantastic. If you played them, you loved them. So I'd almost want to give it another chance to see if we are at franchise fatigue with it, or just what they tried to do last time with exclusive deal is why it didn't sell as well as people thought. Because if you remember, the original Tomb Raider, when they rebooted it, didn't sell well at first, but then it had a great word of mouth. So it kind of had a second life, and then that's where it really exploded with popularity. This Rise of Tomb Raider didn't hear that as much. I would want to play it. Let's put it that way. But is it something I need to run out in day one? Get, obviously we got to see more information on it. What new things are they bringing to the IP to kind of change up the gameplay that maybe sparks some interest there? I don't know. But I mean, obviously Lara Croft is one of the most recognizable video game characters in the world. So when you see a trailer from her, you hear that name, you're going to pay attention. Now it sounds like this movie coming out is not doing it any favors. But, you know, we'll see more at E3, I would assume, you know, what the gameplay is going to be like and what kind of story they're going to tell.
All right, P, I know you mentioned this on our chat about a new update coming out for Ghost Recon.
Yep.
Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So update number 4, it's called New Assignment from Ubisoft. It's tailor-made for the Ghost War downloadable content from Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Wildlands. Gives you 2 new maps. 3 new classes. There's Trapper, Stalker, and Guerrilla. 2 of them are snipers, which is the first two. It's Stalker and Trapper. You get snipers, and the Guerrilla is more of a support class that throws smokes and stuff like that. Shout out to Ubisoft again. They just keep getting, you know, giving and giving and giving, and it's a great template for other developers and publishers. I think if they want to have or show some form of longevity, them, Rockstar, they're the ones that are on that Mount Rushmore right now of third-party developers, if you really think about it, because them, and actually, you know, we got to put CD Projekt Red probably on that Mount Rushmore as well for third-party publishers, because they just keep, they gave you the core game, and then they just keep feeding you and feeding you and feeding you. I mean, I look at my catalog right now of the games that I'm currently playing, Two of them I'm actively playing. The Division, Rainbow Six, and both of those came out two plus, you know what? So Ghost Recon, this is what, a year now? And yeah,
been over a year. Over
a little over a year, but it's been a year since they announced Ghost War, I think. And then Rainbow Six, obviously, we're in year three. You know, that just released a week or two ago. So it's just been nonstop. I mean, just, you know, shout out to them. I just wanted to give them a little bit of shine because, you know, Ghost Recon is a fun game. And this right here is why, you know, this is what gamers have been asking for. They don't want year over year releases. They want something, something that's slow cooked and just keep feeding them content for the same game title. So they don't have to go out and shell out, you know, $40 to $60 of their hard-earned money for a small change when you can already get that with the core base game and you're getting these basically for free. It's a no-brainer.
Cool, man. Cool. Anybody want to say anything about that? Paris, good?
Yeah. Yeah, we're good.
Cool. All right, so we're going to play this coverage live from Atlanta, Call of Duty War League, and this is part two of my coverage. And once we come back, it's all about fan mail. So we'll be right back after this.
There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential. And the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of. I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Our Gamer Tag Radio listeners, I have a big announcement here before we continue with our Call of Duty War League Atlanta 2018 coverage. So stay tuned. But this is important. This is important because it's not only good for me, but also great for the podcast. It's great to also show others about podcasting. So I'm going to be speaking at Hispanicize 2018 here in Miami, Florida. The event takes place April 17th through the 19th. And for more information, go to HispanicizeEvent.com. For those that don't know anything about Hispanicize is the largest annual event for multicultural, trendsetters, digital content creators, and social influencers. They invited me to speak about how to promote podcasts. I'm part of a panel with other podcasters. So I've been doing this now for like 13 years, with GTR. So why not show others about the podcasting scene and how to promote and get the word out about their show, about their content? And I think it's super important because that will help us not only get more brand new content creators to join and do that podcasting, but at the same time, it will help the industry. So I think it's super, super important. So once again, April 19th in Miami, Florida, I'm going to be part of a panel talking about everything about podcasting. Hope you could join us. For more information, go to HispanicizeEvent.com. That's HispanicizeEvent.com. And make sure to spread the word. It's going to be here in Miami, Florida. Plus, the weather is going to be beautiful. Beautiful. Come to Miami if you want to join. And also meet me at the event. All right. Thanks to the whole Hispanicize team for inviting me. Can't wait to be part of this panel. And I'm definitely going to be talking more about this once we get closer to the event. All right. Hispanicize 2018 in Miami, Florida. Take care.
Back on the scene. This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we're live here. Call of Duty World League, part two of our coverage here, live in Atlanta. And I have a friend here that I just met a couple of days ago. And actually, he was sitting next to me while we were talking to our friend Jackie from Adult Swim. Shout out to Jackie. And his name is Max. Max, how you doing, man? Tell us a little bit about yourself, man.
All right, I'm a columnist for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, daily newspaper in Pittsburgh. And we're covering more esports all the time. So that's why I'm here. Been covering Call of Duty World League for this entire season. And it's good to be here.
So tell us a little bit about so far Call of Duty War League in Atlanta. Because I know you've been to the one in New Orleans. Any differences the ones from that one and this one right now?
I mean, as far as the scene is concerned, the scene is exactly the same. You got the fans of the big teams, Team Caliber, who are now or were back-to-back champions, but now just got eliminated. And, of course, Optic Gaming has their fan base, which is now sad because they just got eliminated just before we started here.
A lot of them just got up and left.
I know. It just clears out the whole arena. It's crazy. But the crowd is pretty much the same, but I mean, we've seen some upsets here with Red Reserve taking out both of those teams. They're giant killers. But I mean, really, it's the same vibe, just people excited about esports.
So I know we were talking that one of the things that you do is you cover one of the teams from your local area. Tell us a little bit about their history about the team, and because, you know, I'm pretty new to this.
Yeah.
So I already know the pro teams, but these are ones that are always competing on the lower bracket, right?
Yep.
So what's the name?
Yeah, so Pittsburgh is really just starting to get into the esports scene. Pittsburgh has their own official team called the Pittsburgh Knights. They don't have a Call of Duty team right now, but they have a PUBG team, Hearthstone, and Smash Brothers Melee. So those are like the pro gamers. But what they're trying to do in Pittsburgh is like make it like a sports team. Like, so the local fans can follow their local team, but just in esports instead of traditional sports. But as far as Call of Duty is concerned, there are a couple pros. There's three good pros. Actually, they're not pros. They're amateurs. Three good competitive players in Call of Duty who travel, who went to New Orleans, went to Dallas, and came here also to Atlanta. And since this is an open tournament, like anyone can join, and they're just trying to get to that main stage and get to that top level of competition. So far, they've been doing worse as the tournaments have been going on. They did pretty well in Dallas in the first one, and then I don't know, they're just not, it doesn't seem like they're taking it all that seriously, because they're amateurs. I mean, they have to juggle a full-time job and then also practice time and then travel time. Like, it's hard out there for an amateur, where like the pros get it's their job to practice. So, I mean, but it's cool to follow them and root for them. And I know they have fans back home that are watching them and see how they do. Yeah, I mean, they're trying to grow with the scene.
I mean, I love, you know, covering this event. But the thing that I love the most is those surprises, those teams that come out of nowhere and go to the main stage for the first time. One of them was a Spaniard team. Actually, we're going to play their interview here. It was really cool because I was talking to them and they were telling me, man, we were excited, but we also were tired because we played 10 games straight and then we had to go against Optic. And I was like, oh my God, man. So I know the feeling, you know, but I think that's the way to go, man. You have to pay your dues, man, in order to reach the top, you know? So that's good that you mentioned that, though.
Yeah, it's insane. Like, the difference in their days between like the pro players and what's called the pool play, where they're playing on the main stage and away from like the open bracket. They've got setups where they can practice. They have setups where they can rest and get food. Like, the people who just join, like the amateurs who just join the open bracket, like they're on like all the time. There's no place to practice. They're exhausted. In Dallas, Dallas was kind of a mess because there was that bomb scare. So like, matches were going to like 1-2 in the morning and then starting back up like real early in the morning. So like, it's tough. It's real tough to get there on that main stage, but that's why you got to root for those teams once they get there, because that's exciting stuff.
And while we were watching the CWL, you know, live, we were here in the press area, you were also watching Rocket League. That was something that was going on too on the side. So, man, so you cover a lot of the esports. So what is it that you like about Rocket League competition?
Rocket League is not only my favorite esports to follow, but it's also just my favorite game to play. So like, that's the hardest thing about like the whole esports scene is like, you have to know the game to like be able to cover it. So like Call of Duty, obviously I know, and then like, but Rocket League, so there was the big RLCS Rocket League Championship Series qualifiers, which just started this weekend on Saturday. So I had to tune into that. It's the first event of the whole season. So yeah, I had that going on my laptop. It had Call of Duty on the big screen in the background. So I'm trying to juggle all these esports, but no, it's a good time.
Is there any team that surprised you so far during the Call of Duty War League, Atlanta?
Yeah, definitely. Red Reserve, they're giant killers right now. They just eliminated the two-time champions in Team Caliber and then just took out Optic Gaming, which is like has the biggest fan following here. They destroyed Optic. It swept them. Didn't lose one match. So Red Reserve, surprising team here in Atlanta.
So what's next for you, man? I know you have a lot of coverage and stuff. What's next for you?
Well, doing just like keeping on the esports beat, especially Pittsburgh Knights. Just did a feature on a 17-year-old kid who just got signed by the Pittsburgh Knights. Left high school, moved to Pittsburgh, and now he's playing PUBG for like 10 hours a day, practicing, trying to get to the LAN event in Europe that's coming up. So I'm following them, just doing a lot of esports. And then March is a big video game month. We got Far Cry 5, so I'll be writing reviews for Far Cry 5. And yeah, just trying to cover all the video game news I can.
So give us the website so people can also follow social media if they want to follow you too.
Yep. I mean, I write for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, so the website's postgazette.com. But that's a lot of Pittsburgh news. So for video game stuff, just follow me on Twitter, @GameGuyPGH.
Thanks a lot, Max.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me.
Sam LaRue or Octane, and I play for Luminosity.
So how's been your experience so far at this weekend?
Two reverse sweeps, not really much to complain about. Undefeated right now, 3-0 Optic, so top of the world. I think the only thing that you can really take away from events is just like the vetoes, what maps like other top teams really want to play. Once you learn that, I think series can start to go in your favor because maybe the other team didn't do as much research, so you can get an edge before the map even starts.
Was there any maps or any of the modes that you think you played better than others?
I don't really want to say that in an interview. But I against that the Optic series right there, the vetoes definitely went our way.
So what's next for you guys?
Win the event. Easy.
Keep on. But is that going to be your first time going to the UK?
No. I've been there. You said the UK?
Yeah, isn't it the UK the next one, right? Isn't that coming up next?
Yeah. I've been there twice, I want to say, at Gfinity, and then I mean, at CSWC in France. But
I've been asking a lot of the pro players about this. I know that we're announced Black Ops. Your thoughts about that, man, as a gamer, as a fan of the series?
It's going to be good. The last Boots on the Ground game chart did was Black Ops 2, so it's going to be good. If the maps are anywhere close, the guns, if the game feels anywhere similar to Black Ops 2, it's going to be a good year.
Does it matter? Because a lot of people will say, oh, it's too futuristic. I like the old school way. Does it matter for you as a pro player?
No. I love Call of Duty. I love playing it. I love competing. I'm not really one to bash on the game. So, you know, if we're flying around in space or if we're in World War II, it doesn't really matter.
Any pro players that are coming up and they're trying to compete too, they want to be like you guys. Any tips for those up-and-coming teams?
Make sure what you're doing is worth it. Put the time in. Make sure the time is beneficial for you. Learn something new every day.
All right, but thanks a lot, man.
Yes, sir.
I'm TJ Haley, and I play for Roz Nation.
Man, first of all, congrats. That was a very intense match. What was the thing that you got out of from this match compared to like the previous matches that you had?
They were like a really good search team. We didn't expect them to be that good at search because we played them in the league on St. Marie S&D like a couple times, and they couldn't beat us on it. So we were surprised when they didn't like let that map get through in the vetoes. So that caught us off guard a little bit. And man, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, and one thing too that they play a lot of matches back to back, man. So I was like, man, these guys are like on fire. So I was like, man, do you think Rise Nation is gonna take it or what, man? But you guys did a pretty good job, man, with the whole match, man. So, but Hardpoint, that got really really close at the end, man. What were the changes you guys made in the last few minutes?
We're definitely like getting a little too hectic when we started to go down in the map, but we calmed down. Gunless was literally going off that map. I think he dropped 50. But we clutched up at the end, rotated early to a hill, and just held it and won the map.
Yeah, I know one of your teammates was also feeling sick. Like, what was it was going on with him? But he did pretty good job, though, man, with the match, man.
Looney had a fever or something. He was, like, throwing up before our match. He didn't feel too well this entire weekend. We knew that coming in, too. But he played great this weekend and still got the win, so that's all that matters.
Yeah, he was focus all the way, man. So that's good. That's good. So what's next for you guys, man? Because, you know, Atlanta, it's a wrap. What's next for you guys now?
We're going to try to continue our winning streak in Birmingham in two and a half weeks. So that should be fun going to England to play. And, yeah, we're looking for the back-to-back.
See, here you had the U.S. crowd supporting you guys and everything. This is going to be a totally different crowd, European crowd. Do you think that's going to mess you guys up when you guys are during matches or not?
No, I don't think it's going to mess us up, but it's definitely going to be different playing in a different country for an event. So we'll see how that goes.
All right, now, any advice for those up and coming pro teams that they want to, you know, compete in CWO in the future?
Yeah, just keep grinding, stay at it. It's all a grind, so it'll pay off in the end. Just stick with it, and hopefully it hopefully you can come to the top, bring it to the top.
Well, my last question is going to be, you know, I've been asking this to all the teams. Black Ops just got announced. Are you excited for it? What are the things that you would like to see in the game once it comes out later this year?
I really want to see some good maps, a good variety of maps. Yeah, I'm excited for it overall, and it comes out a month early too, so that's a good thing. But definitely want to focus on grinding out the rest of this year and winning as much as we can.
Do you think it matters if it's a futuristic Call of Duty or stuck in the past or not?
I don't think it matters, but hopefully it's boots on the ground, because, I mean, we're a good boots on the ground team. We know that for sure, but yeah, hopefully it's boots, and it should be fun.
Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
So that's Call of Duty World League Atlanta 2018. Shout out to Activision, everybody that's been involved with this. And also shout out to the pro teams, man. That was a lot of fun playing. Watching them play Call of Duty and everything, man. So, yeah, I got to step up my game because I have my skills is pretty crappy. When it comes to that, man,
I know you went to the last one.
Yeah,
thoughts or comparisons to the last one you saw versus this one?
Still to this day, the one from New Orleans, the final match, I can't remember exactly the team. I know it was Team Katana and somebody else. I can't remember exactly, that was a while ago, but that to me was one of the greatest matches I've ever seen in my life. Like live, that was the greatest. I got goosebumps. Everybody was jumping. I was jumping, screaming. I was like, yo, I can't believe this. So the more I go to these events, the more I'm really getting into the whole esports stuff, man. I know I used to do this back in the days with MOG, Halo, the Halo 2 days, right? A little bit of Halo 3. But then there was a time that I stopped for years. And now that it's coming back and there's more, you know, more events now like this, I would love to attend, man. I know there's one of Rocket League that I would love to check that out live. Overwatch League, that's pretty big too. Even over here, Pete, right? Riot Games is coming to Miami. They're going to have their finals here, right? What is it for? Is it League of Legends?
Yeah, it's League of Legends NALCS. It's going to be April 7th and 8th here in Miami, Florida.
In Miami.
Can't wait.
Yep.
It's going to be dope.
That's dope.
Hell yeah.
That's dope. So I think we should cover that. And plus the NBA 2K League, that's going to start pretty soon. So I'm going to be contacting them. I would like to cover that. I think it's important for us to talk about that. As part of the industry, and it's going to help the industry too, man. You know, because it's good to learn about the players, because like how we always interview the developers and get to know them, you know, how it is like behind the scenes working on all these games. I would like to do the same thing with the pro players, man. You know, there was an article in Rolling Stone that was really good. Because I was talking about this with the PR team at Activision that handle esports. We were talking about an article that was really well done from Rolling Stones about a player that, you know, he had a really tough life, man. And, you know, he's part of the team, Splice. I can't remember exact his name and stuff, but it was a great article. Look it up. It's cool, man. So I would like to do that more in the future, man. You know, like this past weekend, you know, everybody was interviewing like the pro gamers, the pro teams, everything, right? But there was one team that came from the amateur bracket, and they ended up the grand stage, man, playing against Team Optic. And this team, this is an all team from Spain. They don't know much English, Spanish, everything, right? But this is the first time that a Spaniard team ended up playing against a pro team, you know. So I was like, man, I want to interview them, man. This is something cool and different. And they were like super excited that I had, you know, I was interviewing them at the event. So I would like to do more of that in the future, man. I think it's important. Here it goes. You ready, Pete?
Yes.
It's time. Sure. It's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
You want to do voicemail? You want to do fan? You want to do the reading mail? How do you want to do this one?
Let's start with voicemails.
Okay.
Let's start with voicemails.
All right, here we go.
Hey, how's it going? This is Christian from Columbus, Ohio. I have an opinion about the 2D Mario series, and I just want to get all of your guys' take on it. I feel that Nintendo should come up with another 2D Mario game. I started thinking about this when I was playing Rayman Origins. Like I was just like, wow, this game is so refreshing, you know, new 2D art style and stuff. And I was just like, I would like to see more 2D Mario games have different art styles again, just like in the past, like from Super Mario Brothers 1, 3, and Super Mario World. They all had different art styles and had something innovative towards those specific games and art styles. I would like to see that in the future of the 2D Mario series, instead of getting the new Super Mario Brothers, etc., you know, recycling the same stuff, music and backgrounds, etc. And it's my first voicemail, and I thoroughly enjoy the Gamertag Radio podcast, and I will continue to support it and keep listening. And thank you, and keep coming up with the great content, guys.
There you go. Thank you once again for calling in. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man.
I can't think of another. I mean, I know Paris' favorite, so yeah, that's Super Mario Brothers 3, but I think Cuphead is what nailed it right now. You think about that. I mean, and it's a game that a year later, people still, you know, people still enjoy. Phenomenal art design, totally different, outside of the box, you know, platformer to a degree. I guess what games are coming out, coming soon? The new Ori, Will of the Wisps, I think is what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's another, yeah, that's another platform, a phenomenal puzzle platformer at that. So, I mean, there's a time and place for them, right? And yeah, like the world is saturated with open world, and you know, you've got shooters, you know, as Danny hates and things like that. But there's a time.
I don't hate shooters.
I had to go at you for coming at me, dude. but yeah, I mean, there's a time and place for them, you know, and you know, I still clamor for the day when there's a phenomenal co-op that I could sit on the couch and play with the kids or play with my wife. You know, yeah, I like shooters, but there's part of me that also likes those puzzle type games or those puzzle platformers, a la Cuphead and things like that. So yeah. Those are probably the two that I'm looking forward to, right? You know, aside from Cuphead, yeah, it's Ori and the Will of the Wisps that I'm looking forward to.
You know what? Which game I like too, that it came out for the 3DS and also for the Wii U, is Mario Maker. I think that game was really cool because not only you play the games as are there, right, but you also play levels made from the community around the world, and some of them are really, really challenging. You know, you could make it more like 16-bit, right, or the 8-bit. And I think that's an important game too, man, because, you know, more of the gamers love to create content, right? And they'll create these content, and they'll post it on YouTube and all this stuff, and they'll share it to see who is the one that's going to pass it. I think that's cool, super cool. And it's, to me, it's different than just the typical, hey, he's Mario and passing, that's it. But this is cool because there's no ending. The content is going to be coming all the time. Still to this day, probably you could go on the 3DS version or the Wii U version, and there's new content every time. I think Mario Maker's up there.
Paris? Well, I mean, there's other games also. I mean, was it Little Big Planet? Was huge like that, right? Platformer.
Yeah.
You know, the content creation was curated basically from the entire community outside of the original games. So yeah, I mean, there's definitely opportunity. One of my favorite of all times is Pixel Junk Eden from PlayStation 3. I love that game, dude. That game is so awesome.
Paris?
Oh, yeah, you guys stole a little bit of my thunder because that's what I was going to bring up was Mario Maker. If he's looking for something, I mean, that's there you go right there. Basically, you can make whatever you want, and then you can obviously sample whatever you can from the community. Like Pete said, he brought up Cuphead and he brought up Ori, but also don't forget Shovel Knight is another great one. Take it back a few years to Rogue Legacy. That's another great 2D platformer you can play. And also, Mega Man 11 is about to come out as well. You know, that's another one.
Which is harder, one or two?
Which one is harder? You mean Mega Man?
Oh, Mega Man, yeah.
One. I beat two before I beat one.
Yes, true.
Back in the, back a in the bit day.
Easier, yeah. You're right. Go ahead.
I mean, that was it. I mean, just saying that, you know, there's still definitely a lot of 2D platformers out there that are a lot of fun. And I mean, you obviously got to point more towards the indie scene at this point to be able to get those. But, you know, yeah, definitely. Like you mentioned, check out Mario Maker. I'm still waiting. I'm actually, speaking of like Switch announcements, I'm surprised that wasn't one of their announcements, that Mario Maker's coming to the Switch, because I would love to see that and be able to have some of that content on Switch versus being on the Wii. Was it Wii U, being on the Wii U, or on 3DS?
Yes, both. Yeah, you're right. That would be cool. I would love to see that. And there's more people that have the Switch than the Wii U. Why not release that content, right? So,
is Paper Mario, Mario Maker the same game? Excuse me for my naivety, because I'm not too familiar with
that. No, Paper Mario is more like kind of like an RPG type game. It reminds me a lot of like the Mario RPG that came out a long time ago with Square Enix. Mm-hmm. That type of style and stuff. So yes, Paper Mario is more like an RPG game. It's not a platformer like the typical Mario.
Gotcha.
Games
and actually,
but it's super cool. It's super cool though.
That was actually one of my favorite parts of Super Mario Odyssey, was those little opportunities where you jumped into you jumped into 2D, right? After going full 3D. Oh,
that was amazing.
And the way it wrapped around buildings and things like that. It's just so innovative, and it was great. So yeah, there's always a time and place for platformers, even though, like I said, we're in this open world and shooters environments, you know, there's always a time and place, and you know. Yeah. The Mario title has always been one that always heavily, you know, takes care of that.
All right, so let's play the second voicemail.
Hey guys, second time caller. You can call me Nightlife. Danny, I love Xbox, but I'd rather have delayed games than no first party games. And what about Scalebound? One reason I bought the Xbox disappeared. Going for the shortest email. I love Xbox, but Danny, stop sword and shielding that piece of beep.
Swing, 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 swing. Right? Yo, for the, I don't know how many times I mentioned this.
The 43rd time.
I am not talking about delayed games. I'm talking about crickets. When it's quiet and nobody say anything, that's what I'm talking about. Talking about delayed games.
You want me to shut up Danny once and for all? You want me to make Danny be quiet about this once and for all?
Oh my God. Mention another game. What?
No, I'm not. I'm not gonna say anything.
Mention it,
agent.
Agent. I'm talking about crickets, not delayed games. Delayed games, I understand. Days Gone, it's fine. It's delayed. It's gonna come out. It's gonna come out. They're working on it.
No. You know what? You know what? Let's end this conversation, because here is the ultimate game that never came out. It was never delayed. It wound up just getting canceled. We were still waiting on it. Where is it? It's been like freaking 15 years at this point. Where's my True Fantasy Life? Where is it?
Yeah, that's oh my God.
Hmm? Where's that at?
That hurt me.
That hurt me for real.
That hurt me.
I was trying to be a witch and get on the broom and fly around. Yep. Oh my God. Yep. I so wanted that game. Yep. And then they canceled.
But see, at least there was a community. Even though we were pissed, Paris, right? Even though we were so angry and everything, at least they told us it got canceled, you know. But imagine not saying anything. I don't know. Maybe it's coming out soon. That game, I was so hyped for that game, because this is the time where I was like, Phantasy Star Online, this is going to be the next gen version. Oh man, this is going to take things to the next level. Never came out. Freaking crap.
Yeah, man, that game was just way ahead of its time. Because like, imagine that now. I mean, you could totally imagine a game like that coming out right now. That was what, like 2002, 2001, up in there, something like that. It was just way into, because that was still original Xbox at that point. I mean, original Xbox, if it would have been 5 years later, we could have got something like that on the 360.
Now, I know it's not going to happen, Paris, right? But I hate saying this. What if
oh my God.
Bill Spencer goes and says, We're gonna bring back True Fantasy Online.
I will buy an Xbox right then and there. You would I pull up my phone and I go to Amazon and go, boop, I'm in. You got me.
I don't know. I don't know. We'll make a buzz, man. I don't know. Maybe us, like the original Xbox man, will probably be like hype, but the average person be like, "What the hell is this? I've never heard of this." I don't know. I think people are not going to get too excited. I don't know. That's just me.
No, just the old folks like us will get excited. The youngsters
are like, woo! Everybody's like,
youngsters will be like, what is True Fantasy? I play World of Warcraft. I'm not playing that.
Yeah, it's been there, done that. Yeah. Move on.
Oh, by the way, before we go to another email or voicemail. So The Witcher's official Twitter account tweeted today that they got content. So by the time people hear this, we'll know what it is. But they got something coming tomorrow. I almost passed out at my desk when I saw that. Because,
wait, are you saying that there's more content coming for The Witcher?
Yeah, they're teasing something.
The tweet was, Kaer Morhen's old stones have witnessed many battles. Once more, they'll feel the sting of sparks as blades collide. Check back tomorrow.
I was like,
woo!
But here's the thing about that.
Woo.
This is why CD Projekt Red, when you talk best developers in the world, they're right up there with Rockstar. You know what I'm saying? Yep. They're right up there with Nintendo because they do it right, man. Nobody was expecting new content for that game. Nobody. They were done. They're doing Cyberpunk and Gwent. But if they can just sneak in something, even if this is something little, but the fact that it just shows you that they're still looking at the game, they're still throwing things into the game. I mean, it's just a love letter to the fans, man. You really appreciate that. And I'm not expecting anything big from it. It's probably something minor, but the fact that they're even doing it is the point. So
I think that's dope.
And there is speculation that this could be, I think, what is it, Soul Calibur or something? Isn't there some fighting game that Geralt is rumored to potentially be in? It could be that, I guess. The way that tweet is doesn't hint towards something else and hints like, no, it's in the Witcher game. We'll see. I guess we'll see tomorrow.
All right, so we're going to go to emails. You guys want to read an email or
start reading?
No. All right, well, I'll read this when you guys find your emails. All right, this is Caleb. Hey, Gamertag Radio. My name is Caleb. I'm a sophomore in college and I've been dating a girl for over 2 years now. I'm a pretty big gamer and play games such as Rainbow Six and Fallout 4. I've been wanting to get my girlfriend into gaming for a long time now, but not this. It seems like it's he can't find like the right game for her to play, right? So she's never played video games, so has little skills in handling a controller. My question for you guys is, what games do you recommend for first-time gamer, someone that has never picked up a controller? I asked this because games like Rainbow Six Siege have such a high intro skill level that it may seem impossible for a new gamer to even attempt. Thank you guys for all the hard work you put in. Love listening to the podcast. Caleb, thanks for the question, man.
Can I say this off the top? If you guys got the answer, can you tell both of us? Because I'd like to know, too, because I've been trying for freaking 22 years to get my wife in the game, and it ain't working. Yeah. That's all I know.
I'll tell you this. To start small, because I did this a couple times with gamers and also non-gamers, people that have never touched a controller, right? Jackbox, the trivia game, it's everybody have a cell phone. I mean, not a cell phone. Everybody has a smartphone, and you could start playing it, and they could play a multiplayer. Everybody in the room could use their phone, answer the questions. Just start like that, right? Small, and then slowly get games that stuff like that. Similar like trivia games, platformers like Mario Odyssey, Mario Maker. Oh, another one. Mario Kart is a perfect, perfect game to play co-op with your fiance, girlfriend. You know, I've been doing that, you know, many times. And even the young kids are pretty good with that too, man. So you can start. It all depends on what type of console you have. You know, I think that, in my opinion, Nintendo Switch is perfect for someone that doesn't play much, because they have a lot of games for everyone, indie games and even mainstream AAA titles that everybody's gonna love. I think Nintendo, they're really good at that, man, getting the gamers and non-gamers to like the game. So that's my opinion. So Pete, you want to I know you play a lot with your family, right?
First and foremost, never underestimate what your partner can do. So don't think that just because they've never picked up a controller that it'd be outside of their realm of capability. I had that same conversation with my wife when her and I started first dating 10 plus years ago now. I told her, hey, you know, if I play games on a regular, like I'm in pro leagues or whatever, doing, you know, online gaming. If I don't pick up the phone, it's not because I'm ignoring you. It's because I'm likely playing a video game. She's like, oh, I like to play games too. And I was like, that's cute. And uh-huh. She was like, no, really, I like to play games. I was like, all right, cool, bet. So one of our first dates, we actually went to an arcade and we played Tekken. And I was like, okay, put a stack of tokens on the thing. We started playing and I ran the table the first three games. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, she won two, I won one, she won two, she won three. And next thing you know, we're out of tokens and she had beaten me. I think it was like 6-4 or something like that. So never underestimate, you know, your partner, because you never know. They could say they don't, you know, they like to play games, and next thing you know, they're better than you. And it's funny because later that year I got her an Xbox 360, and 2 months later she was joining PMS Clan and playing Rainbow Six and Ghost Recon Online and playing in clan matches and stuff like that. But as far as, you know, ease of entry, I know I don't play it personally, but I know Stardew Valley has been really popular with a lot of people, whether they're experienced gamers or non-experienced gamers. Yeah, and it would, so there's that. If you were going to stay in the current genre, maybe Rocket League, because it's stupid, silly fun. It's not super
difficult.
Yeah, that
difficult. Game is fun.
Perfect on the control game. Scheme. Game. Like you said, Jackbox, Party Pack, that's really fun. But if she wants something more like video gamey and not like a quick, you know, quick time event trivia game, I don't know. I probably
Rayman.
Say, Rayman is fantastic. Me and the kids still play that here. Mm-hmm. There's one other one. Like I talked about it earlier.
Ori and the Black Forest.
And the Black Forest. Or whatever. That's a phenomenal game. Blind Forest. yeah.
Oh boy.
Phenomenal music. Yeah. The art style is amazing. The story is fantastic. You know, we talked about Cuphead earlier as well. But there you go.
Happy anniversary, Gamertag Radio. I just saw the 13th year anniversary online on YouTube and it made me emotional. It was really, really great. And just wanted to say, as a Hispanic myself, doing a podcast coming up from similar kind of area. I'm from Washington Heights originally. I'm Dominican as well. Washington Heights in New York City, and I'm in my 40s, so I grew up with video gaming, I grew up with hip-hop, wasn't into gaming for some time, but now I've gotten back into gaming because of your podcast. And the one question I wanted to ask was, do you think that the next evolution of consoles is going to go the same way of the Switch? Because I think that will be a positive. Do you think Sony and Microsoft will go ahead and adopt a very similar system type where it's a console that you can take on the go? I think more people can enjoy their games that way. Please keep doing your thing. Please keep being an inspiration. And big up to you guys. Thank you.
Thoughts? Anybody?
He's talking to you. Answer him.
Why? I'm the only one here?
Because he was thanking for the documentary and all that.
Yeah, thank
say
you.
Say you're welcome.
Thank you so much. And I did. I hit him up personally. And good I said, Lord. Thank you. I said, thank you. He knows what's up. Shout out to the Washington Heights. That's my hometown. That's my hood in New York City. Yeah. All right. So, is other companies going to do the same thing when it comes to like the similar to the Switch? I mean, it's possible, but Microsoft are all about power. I just don't see them doing the whole handheld stuff, man.
Yeah. Because I've thought I could totally see Microsoft and PlayStation copying them, but like you're saying, they're more in that hardware arms race, the spec race, and they'd have to take a step back to do something similar to the Switch. So in that sense, I don't see them doing it unless they still come out with, like, let's just say Sony as an example. Sony still comes out with the PlayStation 5. You still have that 4K and all that, but then they come out with the Vegeta or whatever you want to call it, right? And
Vegeta.
And they come
Vegeta.
I've been watching a lot of Dragon Ball Z lately. No, but they basically come out with a companion portable that can also that plays the same games, but it's less powerful because obviously it's a smaller screen. That would be the only thing that would make sense, but I don't even see Sony doing that, and I definitely don't see Microsoft doing something like that.
Yeah, we already saw Sony get out of the arms race with regards to the mobile market, right. So they're not going to do that. They're not going to make that same mistake twice. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Vegeta. yo, you know what? Yo, he's a classic E3 moment. I'm sitting there at the Sony press conference. Everybody, yo, excited. Is it going to be a new PSP? What is it they're going to announce? And they announced it, right? Everybody, oh my God, the Vita. And then they go, and yes, we have the 3G version, where it's exclusively for the AT&T. Yo, I am not lying. Yo, the theater, everybody was quiet, not saying a word, yo. It was like, really, AT&T? Didn't they learn from freaking iPhone? Why are they doing this exclusive for AT&T? Yo, it was so freaking funny, yo. Oh, my God. Go with the Wi-Fi. But yeah, that was funny. That was classic. Oh, boy. That's a good one. I think we should call that from now on, man, the Vegeta.
Yeah, the Vegeta.
Place.
by the way, if you want to take a memory down, a trip down memory lane, another game that went crickets. Remember that E3 where Ken Levine got on the stage where it was and held up the Vegeta and said BioShock Portable, and it never happened.
Yo, crickets. You see what I'm saying? Yo, that game never came out. Yo, oh my God. And honestly, I was like, I don't know if this is good or I don't know. At that moment, I was just confused. I was just confused about the whole thing, man. Super confused. Oh, my God. I forgot about that, man.
Remember, he came up there all cocky, too. He goes,
yeah,
because that was right after Infinite came out. And he said something like, and you're going to want and next... You're going to go to Raptor on this. And he's like, hold up the Vita. And everyone was all excited.
It's online somewhere. Oh, God. Oh, my God. That's a classic. Oh, man. Crickets. This is a classic episode, man. Oh, my God. All right. So head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Also, you can find us on Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Apple Podcasts, and other, Stitcher and other podcast directories. You can find us there. Make sure to review us if you can. Share it with your friends. Tell people, tell them, everybody about GTR. The documentary is free. Go to story.gamertagradio.com if you want to check out our free documentary on YouTube. And we have an announcement next week. So stay tuned. That's going to be on a Wednesday. We're probably going to announce it. So that's about it. Anything else, guys?
I think we made enough mistakes on this show already. I think we're good.
Yeah. Yeah. All kinds of mistakes. That's all kinds of mistakes. Unedited, man. Classic. All right. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.